My guest at this time is Sharon Day, co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Earlier this month, the RNC released a detailed report on what went wrong in its eyes in the disappointing 2012 elections and what needs to change or be improved in future campaigns in terms of tone, tactics, and even some in policy. We'll touch on each of those areas in the next several minutes. And Sharon, it's great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, for inviting me today.
There's a ton of technical and tactical recommendations in this report, and we'll get to some of that in a little bit. But it's the limited policy suggestions that are certainly getting the most attention, the most debate within the party right now. So I want to get your thoughts on those real briefly here as we start, particularly on marriage and immigration. And marriage was obviously a big issue this week in front of the Supreme Court. The report says that from the RNC that there needs to be a new tone on marriage in particular, but also other social issues, in order to get younger voters to consider other parts of the Republican agenda that they would probably be pretty approving of. A lot of folks are looking at this and they say, well, Mitt Romney didn't really talk about marriage much. And when he did, he mentioned a lot of the benefits that he allowed gay couples to get in Massachusetts and so forth. So other than changing the official platform policy, what can you do in tone to help attract those younger voters?
Well, I think that the thing we have to remember at the Republican National Committee is it's our job to do politics, not policy. But what this report showed and what we find important, and I know that when we looked at it and when we're going forward with it, is that tone does matter, words do matter. So the way you have to make people feel inviting. You may have to make people want to be invited to be part of the process and part of the solution. So I think that's, when you look at the Growth Opportunity Project, that's what we're looking at, is again trying to get into communities, trying to talk about the things that are important. And again, when we talk about these issues, we don't have to talk about it in a negative aspect with individuals, which is a complete turnoff for many people, myself included.
In terms of the debate we saw this week, we saw Democrats flocking to microphones, cameras everywhere in support of gay marriage. Republicans were very, very quiet on this. Is keeping a lower profile in the midst of some of these debates part of the strategy?
Well, I think we clearly define that a marriage is between a man and a woman. That's our belief is from that point, but it doesn't mean there also isn't open dialogue to discuss it and to talk about it. So that discussion is going on as we speak up in D.C. at the Supreme Court. But the way we talk about it, again, our platform, that's the way we define a marriage, is between a man and a woman. But it doesn't mean that we have to be aggressively negative about that.
Last question on this subject. There may be some social conservatives who are obviously pleased that that is your position in the platform, but if they see what happened this week, they may say that, well, I don't know that you're fighting for us on this issue. So what do you say to them who might be concerned that it might not be as big of a priority as it once was?
Well, I think it's out there. It's part of the platform. We stand in the solution, and that's our position on it. Again, as a party, our job is to do politics at the Republican National Committee. That's to get Republicans elected, and that's the role that we play. And it's clearly defined as what our stance and our belief on it. So from that point, I don't know what, again, the Democrats are going to do what the Democrats are going to do. They're great at demagoguing. They're great at getting out there. They're great at dividing a nation rather than building on a unity. And that's the way they do politics.
Moving to immigration now quickly. At the press conference discussing this report, there was a specific call for Republicans to embrace comprehensive immigration reform in the wake of a huge drop-off in the Hispanic vote between George W. Bush's reelection and last year's campaign. Any specific suggestions as to what needs to be in there? I know you said you do politics more than policy, but obviously this is another hot-button issue for the party.
Well, I think when you look at, there's a big mixture on what is, again, what should be immigration reform, and I think we've led the way we have some of our individuals like Ted Cruz, like Marco Rubio, that are leading the way in trying to come up with a solution. That was, a very important part of George W. Bush when he was president. He couldn't get it past the Democrats in any way, shape, or form. Now it's a really important issue. But, again, when we look at it, there has to be solutions, but we have to protect our borders, and how that's going to happen and what the compromise is on that is going to be dealt with, again, with the policies. We, in the report, said that something has to be done with it. We can't continue to just keep kicking it down down the road, and it can't be just something that's dealt with every election cycle, as the president did with, you know, with a swipe of a pen. Let's change the immigration laws to this. Let's change immigration to that. Do the things that he did.
A constant tension for either political party, really, is obviously having clear positions on issues, but also wanting to make sure that you can appeal to people who don't necessarily agree with you on a specific issue, as you've already mentioned. So how do you go about the principle versus pragmatism approach here? How tough of a tension is that?
Well, I think that when you look at changing our message, and it's not changing our principles, but changing the message and the way we talk to people, half the battle sometimes is just reaching out into someone in their community, talking about the things that we stand for and the convictions that we stand for, the principles that our party stands on. That's what we have to do a better job of it. We did not obviously do a very good job of it in 2012, and we didn't do a real good job of it in 2010 in a lot of areas. So what we have to do is we have to talk about the things that are more similar to us than dissimilar. And to be honest with you, with a lot of Hispanics and a lot of the minority groups, immigration is not the key issue. But it becomes a key issue when it becomes a political football that's kicked from one side to the next, to the other side, back and forth, without talking about it in honest terms. And I think that the party, when I look at the Growth and Opportunity Project, I think what we looked at and what came across is that we have to start talking about our principles. We have to start talking about the issues that matter to most Americans. And that is, to be honest with you, no matter if you're a man, a woman, you're Hispanic, you're a Black Republican, you're an Asian, doesn't make any difference. What we want is the same thing. We want, you know, a good education for our children. We want a job. We want, you know, a job that we don't have to be able to put food on the table without two or three jobs. You know, we want a strong national security. Those are the things that are important to every American, and we did not do a good job as a Republican National Committee or the party or our candidates in talking about the issues that resonate to all Americans. And we weren't in their communities. We weren't talking about it. We didn't make them feel invited. We did not make them feel like we wanted them in our party. And that's our responsibility. And so when you look at tone and the way, those are the things that we have to do different as a party. It's not change. It's not pander. It's to truly to go out and reach out and talk to every individual about the things that are important to us and to every American.
We're talking with Sharon Day, National Co-Chair for the Republican National Committee. And Sharon, you and Reince Priebus inherited a financial mess in 2011. How big of a hurdle was that for you in conducting the 2012 campaign? And how much better shape are you heading into future campaigns?
Well, it was a challenge. There's no way that it wasn't a challenge. Some of the debt was from the election process, and some was just, you know, internal debt. But we were able to turn it around. We paid down the debt. We left the party again before the election came out at year end. We had some cash in the bank with our bills paid, which was a good start. And what we're doing now is to, with our Growth Opportunity Project, is to continue to reach out to the donors with a plan, a two-year plan, four-year plan, six-year plan, eight-year, you know, more than in just saying, okay, this is what we're funding for, not for the moment. So it was tough. We had to build back trust. We had to ask people to donate money to pay a debt rather than build a party. We had very loyal supporters that believed in what we could do and stood there with us. And to be honest, as we go forward, as we lay out the plans and talk about what we want to do, those same donors are still with us. So they have not left us. They understand that we still have a lot of work to do, and we continue to lay out a plan that they are a part of. You know, again, the process that we've invited them to be very vocal on, and as well as our volunteers and activists around the country. As you know, with the Growth Opportunity Project, we reached out to over 50,000-plus individuals. And we contacted everybody that had worked at a Victory office, our vendors, our donors, our regional directors, the 168 at the RNC, and we asked for their input, what they saw, what we can do better, what we have to do better.
Let's talk a little bit on the technical side now. The report fully admits that the Obama campaign had an edge on Republicans in that area in 2008 and 2012. I think a lot of folks are able to remember the ORCA problems that the Romney campaign had on Election Day, but that was more a function of the campaign than the Republican Party. How tough is it, or how easy is it, to catch up technically, not only to get out your message, but to organize well and making sure you get the voters out that you want to get out?
Well, as was in the report, and I think as was reported, the chairman went to Silicon Valley. He met with the players out there. We're committed to open an office in Silicon Valley to, again, to do our data, our technical support, and data support. And we know we have work to do. At one time we led the way in the country for data control and data integration, and we just didn't in the last cycle. So we're going to go forward. We're going to try to be a part of that cutting edge and try to do what we have to do. We're going to start doing some, again, open the data technology so we can do some of the apps as, like you see on the and the Androids and the Apple computer, you know, Apple phones, iPhones, smartphones. And so as we go forward with that, we understand we have a lot of work to do. And so being that we're on the far East Coast, and a lot of the energy and the IT emphasis and energy is on the West Coast, that's why we're looking to open an office there and to have it close by.
Last question for you, Sharon, and that's on debates. There were 21 in 2008, 20 in 2012, and a lot of folks now saying that that should be cut in half, about 10 to 12. Other folks saying that in addition to that, you might want to reconsider who you let moderate the debates. So explain the process you went through in determining the right way forward on that issue.
Well, it'll be great not to have quite so many. I think I attended like 19 of the 20 or 21, whatever it was. It was way too many. It was like watching your family fight at the dinner table. I think we necessarily, and we saw that that didn't work. You know, the process of more debates being better, it just in the end did not prove to be correct. And so we do have some mechanisms that we can put in place at the RNC that we think under the rules of the body to cut down on these, on the debates and the number of debates tied to delegates or, you know, again, and I don't even know what, shouldn't even say what all the rules or what they're looking at, but there are a couple of opportunities that we think that we can go. On the monitoring, you have to be, again, we'd like to have more say-so in who the commentators are. We'd like to hope that the commentators would stay out of the debate business and not be inserting themselves into the debate, as we saw repeatedly at the last cycle. Also, you have to be cautious that, again, we need the CNNs and the Fox News and the other ones to project and to produce these debates as well. So it doesn't do much good to have a debate that nobody sees. You know, so there is that fine line of that relationship that you have to have to protect the candidates, that you also have to have to protect the RNC brand, to have a say-so in the commentators, but then also you have to have a station to produce the event so that somebody sees it. So these are all the balls that are up in the air, but I think all of us would like to see in the future not have the commentators insert themselves into the debate one way or the other. They should be asking the questions and being the moderators. They're not part of the debate, and I think that's the goal that we would like to see happen.
Well, it's certainly been an exhaustive process to examine the previous election cycle. Sharon, we look forward to seeing how some of these suggestions manifest themselves in the campaigns to come. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for inviting me, and have a great day.
You too. Sharon Day is the national co-chair for the Republican National Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.